Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. How do you really, really know that what you are doing is your dharma and not your ego? So it's a beautiful question because so many of us yearn to fulfill our dharma, to find our purpose, to do God's will. And yet the ego is such a game player that it can wear any hat, it can wear any mask, it can speak any language. And your ego can come and say, you know, it's really your dharma to be the CEO of this company. And you know, if you've got to step on 100 people to get there, well, you know, it's your dharma. You do whatever you have to do. And if you've got to cheat and lie and steal, well, you know, it's your dharma to get there. And of course, we know that no one's dharma, real dharma, would require them to cheat and to step on people and to lie and to steal just to become the head of a company. But the ego is so good. It'll tell you whatever story it needs to in order for you to believe it. So this is where subtlety is really important. And it's important to understand what is the voice of the ego. And here's what's really important and really interesting. We actually do know. And yet, this is a question that comes up over and over again. How do I really know? How do I know what's right and what's wrong? How do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? We convince ourselves that we don't know, so that we can get into these long, drawn-out debates with ourselves. The truth is, we do know. Everything in the universe knows how to move, what's right, what's not. Pujya Swamiji shares the example frequently of the little dog that steals something from one of the telewalas on the street. Steals it. Looks around. If there's no one there, the dog will sit and eat it right there. But if there is someone around, the dog's going to take it and run into a little alley and eat it where no one can see him. So even the dog knows. And with us, when you really go within, when you close your eyes, when you meditate, when you really ask yourself, almost all of the time, we do know the answer. The dilemma is we don't actually want to follow it most of the time. And so what we've trained our egos to do throughout our lifetimes is to convince us that that which we want to do is actually the right thing to do. That if we want to lie or to cheat or to steal, or to betray, or to whatever we want to do. We want to engage in greed or lust or whatever it may be. You can be sure that our ego is going to be right there, ready to explain to us why it's the right thing to do, why it's actually in service of our spiritual path, the right thing to do. And this is where Vivek, that power of discrimination, is so important, to actually show us what's true and what isn't. But it's also where simple humility is so important. Because when we're not so attached to what we want, how we want it, when we want it, our greed, then there's a lot less for the ego to work with. Then when we actually come to realize something is the right path, we're much more able to be able to walk it. So I'll give you a couple of just quick sort of, I don't want to say tricks, but hints that you could use if you're really in doubt. Our real calling, our dharma, our purpose, God's will, is something that's going to expand us. Our true nature is expansive. It is one. And so it's going to be something that will expand our hearts, expand our minds, expand our scope of generosity, of awareness, of helping, of love. That which is our ego is something that's going to cause us to contract. The ego blocks out the rest of the world, and it's only focused on this thing I want, me, mine. So if it's something that causes you to contract, you can be pretty sure it's ego. If it's something that causes you to expand, it's much more likely to be dharma, God's will. Another little shortcut is the ego tends to be kind of frenetic and in a panic. The ego wants what it wants, when it wants it, right now. The ego is very prone to stress, anxiety in terms of, oh my God, I might not get it. Oh my God, look at how they're looking at me. Look at what they said. They must be talking about me. I'm going to show them. With the ego, it's always right now. There's a frenetic quality to it. It's right now. The ego is very impatient. And with the ego, of course, we include lust, greed, these aspects of it. It's always right now, gotta have it. Gotta do it, gotta have it. God is pretty infinitely patient. And when it's God's will, when it's our dharma, there's almost never a frenetic quality to it. But rather, there's a patience to it. Okay, you're not ready to learn it today, to know it today? No problem. There's always tomorrow. You're not going to get it this life? Okay, you can come back and do it all over again. Get it next life. The universe is very patient. The ego is very impatient. So if you find that which you're drawn toward has got this impatient, frenetic quality, chances are it's ego. If it's still true tomorrow, the day after, it's much more likely to be dharma and God's will. And you'll know. Pooja Swamiji always reminds us we've got an internal GPS, like the cars have it. We really do know. We just have to be free of the desire, of the fear, of the conditioning. The conditioning, whether it's our culture, whether it's society, that says, oh, a success is only if you make a lot of money. You must reach the top of this ladder, career ladder, popularity ladder. That's a success. Then you've got a calling. You've got a calling to make music or make art, to be a school teacher, to be a gardener, to plant trees, to take vows of renunciation, to spend your life in seva, whatever it may be. That's your dharma. But the ego is going to yell, but you'll never be a success. But you've got to be a success. A success is only if you make a lot of money, if you're right up there on the ladder. And so we have to be prepared, if we're really going to live our dharma, to be able to be free of those, the indoctrinations, of the fears, of the desires, of the calls of the ego. And then you'll know. I mean, look, everything else in the universe knows. I always say caterpillars know how to become a butterfly. They know when to climb the tree. They know when to weave the cocoon. They know when to come out of the cocoon. Seeds know how to sprout, when to sprout, so that they can actually blossom into a tree. It's impossible, inconceivable, that this intelligence would be given to a caterpillar and a seed, but not to us. We just have to listen closely and carefully.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. Do your mom or dad or family members, do they ever do upwas? Do you ever hear them have fasting days? Do you know? Do they ever observe fast? Kabhi upwas karte?
No.
Okay. So a lot of times, lots of people observe fast. Means whole day they don't eat. Why? Because it allows them to be very light and to sit closer. Upwas means sitting near to. Near to whom? Near to God. Now, here's why it's a beautiful practice. When you feel hungry, what happens? Where do you feel hungry? Does your finger feel hungry? Bhuka lagti hai. How do you know if you're hungry? Does your nose feel hungry?
No.
Where do you feel hungry then? Where do you feel it? Your elbow? Yeah? Yaha bhuk lagti hai?
Nahi.
Kaha bhuk lagti hai? Bhuka lagti hai. Kaha mehsoos hoti hai? Kaise maloom hai ki bhuk lag rahi hai? जब लगती है तो कैसे मालूम? कोई आकाश से आए कि अच्छा तुम भूख लगती है कोई आके बताया? नहीं. So how do you know if you are hungry? Hmm? What do you think? Kaise malum? Do you feel it in your tummy? Mm-hmm. You feel it in your tummy? Yeah. And sometimes it makes sounds?
No.
No? Mine makes sounds when I'm hungry. It means they must not let you get very hungry. It's good. When you get very hungry, then it starts to make sounds. It starts to move around a little bit, make noises. Then you know, oh, khub bhook lagri. I'm very hungry now. But here's why people observe fast. Because when that happens, when the stomach and then the mind says, oh, I'm very hungry, most of the time, what do we do? Jaake ka lete. We go and eat. Acha bhook lag rahi, chalo ka lo kuch. We go and we eat something. But if I am fasting, if I've made a decision ki aaj mera upwas hai, today is my fast. Maybe we fast for Shiva. Maybe we fast for Hanumanji. Maybe we fast for the Guru. Maybe we fast for so many different reasons, Ekadashi. But when I have decided to fast, no matter how much my stomach is growling, no matter how much my mind says I'm hungry, I don't eat. And you know what's great about that? That nothing happens. Most of the time we think if I'm hungry right now, I must eat something. Like right now, if you feel hungry, man kya kehte hai? Kya kehte hai man? What does your mind say?
If I'm somewhere out, let's say 6 feet. Wait for some time.
It says wait for some time. Okay, well that's, you have a very patient mind. You have a very good mind. Most people's mind when they are hungry says eat now. But you have a very patient mind, a very sattvic mind. That's wonderful. But when we don't eat, when we say wait for some time, it trains us not just to deal with hunger, but it trains us to deal with everything in life. In the same way, does anyone in your family ever stay awake all night long for maybe Shivratri, maybe Krishna Janmashtami, maybe some other occasion? All night long?
No. But in my vacations, I sleep a little late.
Okay. Well, that's kind of like staying awake all night long. But when you sleep really late, when you go to sleep late, before you go to sleep, the mind is saying, I'm very tired. Very tired. Right? What is your normal bedtime?
Whenever Mama says.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Whenever Mama says, I have to go.
That is beautiful. That is really beautiful. Okay, so if Mama says you have to go, and then you know it's bedtime, but then let's say that you don't go right to sleep. You know you're feeling tired. The mind says, I want to sleep. But maybe for some reason, maybe you're traveling. But I bet you can just sleep in Mom or Dad's lap. But for other people, when we make a decision, I'm going to stay awake all night. It's Mahashivratri, it's Janmashtami, or it's some other occasion. All night we're going to chant, we're going to meditate, we're going to pray. The mind says, sleep, 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 but we don't sleep. And what's so great about that is it teaches us that we are not slaves to our mind. Mind says eat, but I don't eat because it's my upvas. Mind says sleep, but I don't sleep because I have decided I'm going to meditate all night. The mind becomes very strong then. Because it learns, oh, I don't have to do what these instincts are. I don't have to do what just these thoughts or feelings are. So that's when we become very strong. And we learn, because sometimes in life our mind tells us things that we don't want to do. Somebody makes us angry, and there's a thought that comes in the mind that says, "May tapar mardungi." Nay? You are so good. I love you. In most people's mind, sometimes that thought comes. Somebody does something to us, and the mind says, "I'm going to hit him. I will show him." But obviously, we don't want to do that. We should never hit somebody, never hurt somebody. When we learn through fasting, even when we are hungry, through staying awake, even when we want to sleep, not every night, on very rare occasions. Otherwise, sleep is very good, food is very good. But on these rare occasions, it trains us that we don't have to do everything that the thoughts say. That's when our mind is very weak. But through doing all of this, it allows us to become very strong in the mind. So that later in our life, when the mind says, "I'm going to hit somebody," or "I'm going to steal," or "I'm going to lie," or "I'm going to do something wrong," we know, not going to do it. Mene nishchit liya, I have made a decision. Mene sankalp liya, I've taken a pledge. I will not lie. I will not harm. And then we become very strong in our minds. And that's why it's very good sometimes, when we feel hungry, that we wait some time. Maybe we wait a few minutes, maybe we wait a few hours. If it's our upwas, we wait a day. Don't worry, nobody's going to make you wait a day. But it's a very good way of training us. So whenever you want something in life, like maybe you want some sweet. Diwali is coming, right? Mind says, "Oh, I would like to have some sweet." So you know what a really good practice is? If you wait just a little bit of time before you eat the sweet. You can eat it, but not immediately. Maybe you wait 10 minutes. Maybe you wait half an hour. Just so that your mind gets strong, knows, "Oh, I really, really, really want it. But I don't have to eat it right now. I can wait. I'm strong."
I also wanted dollars, but I have to wait.
For dollars?
No.
Huh?
Dollhouse.
Oh, dollhouse. I was like, what's she going to do with dollars? Dollhouse. You want a dollhouse?
Yeah. I wait.
You're waiting.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, I bet when the dolls come to you, they're going to be very happy. And you know what? When you get the dollhouse, it's going to be even sweeter because you waited. Like the sweet that you wait for is even sweeter. The first food that you eat after upwas, after your fast, tastes even more beautiful. Lying down to sleep, even if you just get 2 hours because you have to go to work, but you've been awake all night, that sleep is so sweet. So when you get that dollhouse, it's going to be so nice. And you know what? Aside from the dollhouse, it has trained your beautiful mind to be very strong and to be very patient and to wait. What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah.
So how long do you think you can wait for a dollhouse? What do you think? How long do you think you can wait?
Till I don't go to my new house.
Until you go to your new house. In your new house, you're getting a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds like that's going to make you wait a little bit of time. That's a wonderful exercise. How long do you think you can wait till dinner?
So sometimes I have dance class. ends really late, so I have to wait for...
Oh, for dinner. Yeah. So that's a wonderful exercise then. It's an exercise for the body and it's an exercise for the mind. You are getting wonderful training. Beautiful. Your mind is very beautiful. And as you grow, you're going to see how strong it is. Okay. Anything else? You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. On a personal level, both in my own practice, in my own life, as well as in my sharing, in my teaching, I really try to emphasize not being worried about the semantics, about the vocabulary. For me, this was a personal path because I was an academic. And I was a good academic. I was an A-plus academic. And so for me, the semantics, the vocabulary, was a very easy place to go. Oh, this is what this means. Oh, that's what that means. Oh, I'll become an expert on this or on that. But I realized very early on that God did not send me to India, did not pick me up from California and carry me to the banks of Ganga so that I could master some semantics, so that I could master an academic distinction between different words, between different philosophies, between different ideas. And so, yes, we could spend the next hour or day or week, because they're very deep topics, speaking about the difference between consciousness and awareness. But for me, what matters most is how is our life impacted? As far as I've heard, from scriptures, from saints, from sages, from rishis, at the end of our life, whatever our religion may be, whether we think that we stand in, you know, in front of the pearly gates with, you know, a manifestation of the divine, whether we think about it in terms of reincarnation, whether we think about it in terms of moksha, oneness, however we think about it, I've never heard anyone say, there's going to be a test, and it's a vocabulary test. There's going to be a test, and it's a philosophy test. A, B, or C, fill in the blank. A is awareness, B is consciousness, right? So I don't actually think that any of us is ever going to have to take a test on this. The test that we have to take is every day of our lives, as well, of course, as after we die, on how we lived. What did we experience in our minds and our hearts? What did we share? This is the sort of test that gets taken. And so for me, when I think about consciousness, I think about it as that which exists in the universe, as the universe. You can think about it as presence that is aware of itself. So consciousness, to me, again, this is not a dictionary definition. To me, when I think about consciousness in my life, I think about that ability that I have when I close my eyes, but then also hopefully when I've got my eyes open, of being aware of my state of awareness. So awareness is, I am aware that my throat is dry. I am aware that there is a glass of water next to me. I'm aware that I have just picked up this glass of water. I'm aware of how the water tastes on my lips. I am aware of how it feels going down my throat. You could call it mindfulness. When we practice mindful living, mindful eating, mindful walking, it's really about that. Can I be fully aware of the way that the muscles in my hands feel, of the way that the warmth of the glass feels beneath my fingers? This is awareness. I'm fully present in the moment. I'm not thinking about, God, I wonder what's for dinner. I'm not thinking about the last time I drank water. I'm not thinking about, oh my God, if I drink the water, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and I've still got, you know, a half an hour left. What's going to happen? None of that. Just fully aware. With this moment, this presence, the way the body is, the way the breath is, the way the muscles are, the way the skin feels, the way that, just that full mindfulness. And there's a whole meditative practice around mindfulness, just being aware, in which literally you take, you know, 20 minutes to eat a raisin or a grape, just to be fully aware of every aspect of that. And it trains the mind. Because if I can be fully aware, fully present, then even drinking water becomes a meditative experience. Okay? So for me, that is awareness. I am fully aware in the moment. I am fully aware of your presence in the moment. And I'm fully aware of this connection in the moment. That's a reminder, a reconnection, a reunion, you could say. Consciousness. Consciousness for me is a step deeper. Consciousness is, I am aware of the part of me who's aware that I'm drinking water. Consciousness is, I am so awake that I am able to be aware of the awareness. See, awareness is engaged. A practice of awareness is an engaged practice. My attention, my focus, It's on my awareness. Consciousness for me is that which pervades me, whether I'm aware or not. So I might be in the midst of a complete stress, panic, tension, freaking out moment. I am so not present, yelling at somebody, doing whatever it may be. Absolutely unaware. My awareness has gone to sleep. But consciousness still exists. I'm just not tapped into it. Awareness for me is something we create. I am able to create awareness by putting my attention and my focus onto something. I can become fully aware of it. Consciousness exists regardless of whether I'm plugged into it or not. And so when we speak about being conscious, yes, it includes awareness. Because I have to use that power of awareness to say, I am now going to pull my awareness from what's happening in the stock market, from this, from that, from here, into consciousness. I'm going to become aware of being aware. That's my path into consciousness. Who is it that's aware that I'm aware? What is that? Awareness is a practice. You could call it my mind. My mind can practice awareness. I can train my mind to be aware. That's why we call it mindfulness practice. But who's aware that I'm aware right now? For me, that's consciousness. That whether I'm aware right now or not aware right now, consciousness is there. Consciousness is conscious that at the moment I have completely lost myself. Consciousness is conscious that I'm throwing a temper tantrum, having a panic attack, freaking out, totally unpresent in the moment, or that I am aware. So connecting with consciousness is a way of connecting with, to me, I use it sometimes synonymously, with soul, with spirit. It's that which always exists. We just have to tap into it. It's always been there. But most of us just are not aware of it, are not conscious of it. So when we speak about becoming conscious, it's not just being aware. It's deeper than that. It's much more in the sense of the soul, the spirit, the truth of who I am, that which exists all the time. Even when my awareness has been hijacked by the guy on the road who doesn't know how to drive and who's going to make me late.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavathy Saraswathy with Inspiration and Transformation.
Great. So we were speaking earlier about the different milestones or checkpoints on a spiritual path, and I was saying there's no right way to meditate. There's a wrong way to meditate, which is to hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. Or to, you know, make a shopping list in your mind. Those are definitely wrong ways of meditating. But different people meditate in different ways. For some people, it's a meditation on a mantra. It's a single-pointed focus on this mantra or on the breath. For some, it's a meditation on the chakras. Sometimes maybe a meditation on just one at a time. I know during Navaratri, the 9 days of Navaratri, we did a very special series of each day, different goddess, different chakra, different meditation. Sometimes we do a meditation on all of the chakras, one by one, moving upward, opening them. All of our forms of meditation open our chakras eventually. It's an incorrect assumption that in order to have your chakras opened, you have to do a specific chakra meditation. In the same way that Kundalini gets awakened, not only because you've done a Kundalini practice. Kundalini was being awakened long before we had a specific style of a Kundalini practice. Chakras were being opened long before we had, you know, YouTube videos on how to open your chakras. What matters is that in our meditation, we are connecting with the truth of who we are. That we are creating space and freedom from the thoughts. Because those thoughts keep us living in illusion. They keep us stuck in an identity. They keep us stuck in the fluctuations of emotions, of thoughts, of feelings, of yesterday, of tomorrow. So whether I'm focusing on my breath and I'm just fully aware of the breath as it flows in and out, whether I am chanting my mantra and then my mantra is chanting on its own, whether I'm doing both. For those of us with overactive minds, I frequently say, helps to do both. I know on a personal level, I have an awareness of the breath and a chanting of the mantra kind of simultaneously. Helps my brain to have two different things to do in order to quiet it, in order to really be fully still and spacious, into which that experience, that energy, that truth, that anubhav arises. If for you working with the actual energy centers connects you with that energy, wonderful. We do a meditation sometimes of following the breath, carrying it upward through the centers. There's a lot of different ways to activate those. I know on a personal level, I had my chakras opened and activated by a Reiki practitioner long before I knew what the word chakra or Reiki meant. It was an experience of what I was having here. There happened to also be this Reiki master who kind of did something, and then I was in another world. And so there's a lot of ways for it to happen. When we talk about the guru's grace that just awakens, Pooja Swamiji shares the story of his guru just touching him on the forehead, and what you would call the Agya Chakra. But he didn't take him on some kind of a practice to get there. He just reached out and touched him, and that was it. The clothes help us, but it's not about the meditation. For me, the clothes, we all move through the world with identities. And we're constantly kind of checking our own identity as the day goes by, right? Wondering, should I do this? Should I not? Right? There's all sorts of temptations. There's all sorts of frustrations. There's all sorts of things that happen. And we're constantly checking in with our own identity. So if, for example, my identity is someone who is really tough and hard and I'm a strong boss and that's my identity, then whenever anybody does anything a little wrong, I'm going to be sure to completely bawl them out, make them feel horrible, punish them, hold them to it, because that's my whole identity, is I am the strong one. Kisika himit niye, mera samne. Right? So that's an identity. It's a drama. But it leads to how we speak, how we behave. On the flip side, when you wear these clothes, it's this constant reminder, I'm a spiritual person. I'm a representative of the Dharma. I have taken vows of renunciation. I should not be gossiping, complaining, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. You know what I mean? Like, these things are just not what one should expect of a spiritual person. Now, of course, to be a spiritual person doesn't mean you have to wear these clothes. But the clothes are a wonderful reminder to us of, oh, yeah, it's the same reason, well, one of the reasons we put on tilak. Is it reminds us, oh, God, help me not only use these two eyes to see, but help me use this eye. This is the real divine eye. Let me use this eye to see the world. And when I've put on tilak, then all day long I remember, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be seeing the world with this eye. This Agya Chakra, open. And so it helps us because it keeps us focused. It keeps us on track. But it's not that which is going to change the power of my meditation, the clothes. Then in terms of the places we go, the point of meditation is to connect with the truth of who you are, which is the divine. Okay? Being in the midst of a crowded place, in the middle of a city, where everybody is worried about the stock market, interest rates, mortgage rates, shopping. The energy of that space, it's going to be very hard to sit down on, you know, a street in Delhi or a street in Manhattan and meditate. Not impossible by any means. It's one of the reasons we worship the cow, right? Look at how beautiful the cow is able to just be there and not be distracted. But for us, we'd be very distracted. Every honking horn, every person stepping over us, walking, every door of a shopping center that's in and out and the bell, whatever. It's very difficult to connect with that infinite truth of the self in those spaces, in the beginning. Once you've achieved it, it's everywhere. But in the beginning, it's why. And at times when we need to really take our practice to another level. It's why we come to ashrams. It's why people sit on mountaintops or sit on the ocean or sit by a riverside. Because it's a lot easier to connect with the divine watching Ganga than watching the traffic, you know, flow through Connaught Place. It's just easier. Much more likely to feel that connection with the divine, watching Mother Ganga flow, than you are watching the cars go by on the freeway. These are all just different ways. Pooja Swamiji says very beautifully, he says sadhana. And by sadhana, it's everything, including the clothes we wear, the practices we do. Sadhana purifies our mind. It doesn't bring God. It purifies our mind so that we can see that which already is. Which means it's available to you, sitting in Connaught Place. It's available to you on the streets of Manhattan. It's with you everywhere. But the sadhana is that which cleans the mind, wipes off the dirt, so you can see more clearly that which already is, that divinity of yourself.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.